What's going on, everybody? We are back, officially back. Chris Meany here with you, Mean Streets Live, and our FTN YouTube page. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. Deesh, let's go. We are back. It's the hangover. We are back. We're ready to go, and we're fired up. We're excited. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out here. Mean Streets presented by Boom Fantasy. And we have a lot to talk about. We're going to roll through some starter sits, answer any questions that you guys do have. You can always reach out at Chris Meany. If you're not hanging out live, you're watching the replay of this video or listening on iTunes or Spotify, at Chris Meany, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Always scanning these videos too and seeing if you guys have any questions. So any questions that you guys have, you can hit me up. And I'll always circle back on these videos and address those questions. Friday's a big day, practice reports, and we have some news surrounding Bengals wide receivers and Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks. So we will address that. What you can look for if you're just new here and hanging out with us on this Friday, we will discuss injury reports. I have my own starter sits. I will answer your starter sits. We'll have picks against the spread. We'll have some props. We'll have some touchdown calls. We'll recap last night. We normally won't have a Friday night football game to dive into, but we will talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. So again, we're officially underway, just checking some latest news here, and we'll get going. So, I'm going to just start with last night, a couple of my takeaways from last night. Phenomenal game between the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we saw Kansas City take care of Baltimore again, 27-20. Man, super, super fun down the stretch. If you've been hanging out with me this season and on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, we're live there from Monday to Friday, channel 87 from 1 to 3. I've been talking a lot about Isaiah Likely. Like, I'm pretty shocked that he had the performance that he did. I didn't expect him to have those type of numbers. Like, we're talking 12 targets, 9 grabs, and over 100 yards. He had a touchdown. If you're subbed with us over at FTN Fantasy, we had the 6-1. If you watched the replay on the show yesterday as well, we didn't do too great with the picks, to be honest. We got Zay Flowers. We did not get Pacheco catches. We didn't get Henry rushes. We did have the Likely touchdown. We had 95-1 for him to score 2 touchdowns. I'll tell you what, some heartbreak there. We were really close. Just centimeter or two away from him having 2 touchdowns there. But I'm not shocked to see him involved in the offense. This is something that I thought would happen. Some more 2 wide receiver sets lining up wide. The Ravens didn't do a whole lot, you know, in the offseason in terms of like bringing in wide receiver talent. So they have 2 weapons in Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. And, you know, it's Likely will be a hot waiver wire pickup. We'll talk waivers on Monday. We'll tee up the Monday Night Football game and we'll discuss, you know, things that happen and we'll fit in. We'll find out where he fits in. He was a top 20 tight end for me, not just this week, but overall in general on the season. And what is that? Like, you know, outside of the top 10 at tight end, you're playing this game of chasing tight ends and touchdowns and whatnot. But I would scoop him up. Like if I had Dalton Schultz or Dallas Goedert or Cole Kmet or maybe even Njoku, like this is somebody that I would rather have in Isaiah Likely. And I wouldn't panic if you owned Mark Andrews. What I will say is it's not the time to make him available. It's not the time to sell high. I saw in a couple of my leagues, people just making Mark Andrews available midway through last night. Like that's not the time to sell him when he doesn't have a catch in the first half. And his backup tight end in Isaiah Likely is balling out. So if you own Likely, you didn't start him. I have him in some spots. Didn't start him. I think maybe one league got a few shares in best ball, which is just different. We should be considering starting him. If you had Andrews in your league, I would not be dropping him. Again, it's not the time to sell high. It was the first game of the season. I don't think he was 100%. He had some injuries before. There was a car accident. It said he was fine, but he may not have been 100% last night. But man, Likely a weapon in terms of snaps and usage rate. 53 snaps for Likely, 59 for Andrews, 38 routes run for Andrews, 2 targets, 2 grabs, and they came both in the second half. Likely had the 35 routes run, and he had 12 targets, as I mentioned, the 9 grabs, and 111 receiving yards. So We haven't seen two tight ends from the same team be fantasy relevant since Gronk and Hernandez. In fact, I think it's only happened like once over the last 30 years. Can Andrews pick up the slack? Because I do believe in Likely. I do believe in Likely. I think he's going to be a weapon for this squad, especially inside the red zone. And you could see last night, Lamar was looking his way. As for the usage between Henry and Justice Hill, there are some reasons to be slightly concerned on Derrick Henry, just because, like, I'll say one thing, the game script really didn't do him any favors. I don't think he's definitely not going to be the back in the 2-minute drill. Like what we saw last night with Justice Hill in the 2-minute drill playing from behind, that's going to be his role. Maybe Keaton Mitchell too, when we see him return to the football field. So third and long, any sort of situations like that, not going to benefit Derrick Henry. He did score a touchdown, which kind of saved your day. He was 13 for 46 over, he's like 3.5 yards per carry. I do think he's going to end up as like, I don't know. I really do think that he could have 15, 16 rushing touchdowns. Like that just wouldn't shock me. He's had seasons like that before. I do think he has some left on the tank to offer fantasy owners. And of course the Ravens, and they ran the ball a little bit more last night than they did in that first game. We're in that AFC conference championship game where they hardly ran the football. But it's worth noting the three new players on the offensive line, right? So it may take a little bit of time to get going. And at the same time, you don't expect the Ravens to be down in games like that too often, right? It was Mahomes and his Arrowhead. And you look at Lamar Jackson, he's 1-5 against Kansas City with a 57% completion rate, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks. So he does struggle against the Chiefs, and the Ravens still have a legit defense. So they shouldn't be behind too often, which should benefit Derrick Henry. But Justice Hill last night, 43 snaps. He ran 28 routes. He had 6 targets. He had 8 targets and 6 catches for 52 yards. And Henry just had the 37 snaps, the 1 target, which is not really his jam, and the 13 carries, as I mentioned. But Lamar was fantastic last night, apart from the end. Like he had a B plus, an A minus game. Maybe B plus is kind of too harsh. You need to have an A plus game against Mahomes. That's it. You need to. It's the best of the best. It's Mahomes, and you've struggled against him at Arrowhead. So he needed to be a little bit better at the end of the game, although he made a really nice throw to Bateman. I thought he missed Likely in the corner of the end zone. He had him right there. And again, this mismatch, it's not like Mark Andrews is not a mismatch, but he had him in the left corner of the end zone, and he missed that throw. And he had Zay Flowers too wide open. And he said after the game, he was actually looking at Rashad Bateman, who Bateman stopped. And then he thought he was going to keep going. And that ball was actually intended for Rashad Bateman, not Zay Flowers. He said if he had saw Flowers wide open in the end zone, he would have looked his way, maybe given him the football. But Harbaugh was outcoached again by Andy Reid. It's that simple, right? It's the conservativeness at the end of the first half, settling for a field goal, not wanting to give Mahomes the ball back. It's the timeouts that were used in the second half. Very valuable, right? Just think about them needing another timeout at the end of that game. At the very end of that game, they may have had another shot in the end zone where Likely had his foot out of bounds. They would have had another shot there if they had another timeout. But again, don't overreact on Henry. Don't overreact on Andrews, but I will say that Likely is going to be a pain in his butt. If you read our NFL predictions this week for free over FTM Fantasy, I had him as a sleeper, a breakout candidate, been talking a lot about Likely. I really do believe in the talent, and I think that he is going to continue to be a factor, and I love the usage. Two tight end sets, lining him up wide, using him. Andrews will have better moments. It's just week one. As for Xavier Worthy, it kind of reminded me a little bit about CEH, his first game with the Chiefs. Remember, he had like 2 or 3 touchdowns and everybody freaked out, and then he didn't do anything after that. I don't think that's going to be the case, but he touched the ball 3 times. He had 2 touchdowns. He touched the ball 3 times, and one of those touchdowns was the broken coverage. So he had 2 catches, and he was wide open on that other touchdown. I even think Juju may have scored that touchdown. I don't want to take too much away. The speed was on full display on the end around, right? That's a thing that's going to continue to happen. The Chiefs are better on offense this year. They're just going to be. I said that on the show yesterday when I was teeing up this game, is that they have explosiveness now. And it's not so much just deep threats with Xavier Worthy when Hollywood Brown gets there. It's just opening up, like having speed does open things up in the middle of the field, right? You saw Rashee Rice last night ball out. It opens up the short and intermediate, having those deep threat guys. So I believe that Rice is the go-to guy inside the offense, and it's tough to say that even with Travis Kelce. He also had a dud game last night with Mark Andrews, and I don't think people are freaking out about Kelce. We know what we've seen from him over the past couple of years. He should be fine. Sam Laporta is my tight end one, but similar tier, very close. But now you're going to add Hollywood there. You have Rice and the explosiveness. And Kelce's a little bit older, lost a step or two, still made some plays for Mahomes. But there are other options now. This offense was very just really throwing the two guys. And it was a lot of screens. Now you have some speed when Hollywood gets there. So the Chiefs, man, it's going to be another phenomenal year for Kansas City. Can they win three in a row? Nobody's ever done that. We'll see. But I would make Worthy available. He was kind of in my 40s, so I misranked him. He was like 44, 45, so I didn't even have him as a wide receiver three. He was more of a flex play. There will be boom or bust games. There will be some dud games from him, and there will be games like we saw last night. And if you have a team where you are pretty sound at the wide receiver position, I'll say that you have like a couple, maybe you started wide receiver, heck, maybe you started three wide receivers in a row, then you dove into an elite quarterback, a tight end, or some running backs or whatnot. But if Xavier Worthy is like your four, and you have some nice, solid floor wide receivers, and you can live with a boom or bust as him as your flex play or your wide receiver three. But week one's always about overreactions. It really is. There's a little bit about victory lapping. I had my fun last night with Likely as well. And if Andre Josibach goes out, I won't be able to, if he goes off tonight or this weekend, I won't be able to contain my excitement because he was another kind of deep league sleeper of mine. But Andrews, don't make him available if you are weak at tight end with a Schultz or with a Komet, or you drafted Hockenson, you don't like, you're playing the tight end game for a little bit. Call the Andrews owner, see what you can get. It's time to buy low. I would keep Henry. I would take a flyer on Justice Hill if he was available, especially in a PPR league. And yeah, I would make Xavier Worthy available as well. Yeah, Rashee Rice might be the steal. Kyle Woods in the house. Let's go. Man, dropped Likely for Taysom as my tight end too. Still have McBride though. Joe's in the house. Bet your over under picks for fun. The Chiefs after last night are over under 12.5. Currently did not bet it. He looked tentative in Henry's defense. The holes were closing faster than a frightened clam. I like that comment. Welcome in. Yeah, have some fun with the betting picks. I got a couple more here for this weekend, and we'll tee up tonight's game as well. Maybe we'll save tonight's football game for the very end of the show because people may be watching a little bit later on and they're here for the other stuff, but we'll save the Eagles and the Packers for later. And yes, Christian Watson, happy Christian Watson night, old habits die hard. You know, Lou, this is the year that I'm not on Christian Watson. So Christian Watson may just pop off this season and it may just finally be a Christian Watson season. So we'll see. This year, the guy for me has been Romeo Dubs and Wicks. I think Reed has been overdrafted and Watson overdrafted. We'll get into that game in just a little bit. So let's start here with some starter sit guys, some players that I like, some players that I dislike. We'll start with some players that I would be thinking about sitting this week. So Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, three quarterbacks, I think in very tough situations this week. Dak is like quarterback 18 for me. Purdy's around 16. Cousins is in the late teens. Justin Fields is a guy that I would start over all three of those quarterbacks. Again, we don't have official word on Russell Wilson, but it does sound pretty doubtful that he is going to play. He's hopeful. But he also was talking, I'm paraphrasing, but talking about, you know, staying healthy long term. They were cautious with the calf injury, how Joe Burrow played last year with the calf injury. Not great. He's obviously a little bit older than Burrow, and that's something that could certainly linger. So I do expect to see Justin Fields here under center this weekend when the Steelers open up against the Atlanta Falcons. And listen, he didn't look fantastic in the preseason. I don't believe that this was actually a quarterback competition. I think Tomlin was just saying that. I think he was always going to go with Russell Wilson because Wilson hadn't – there's no way Wilson showed him a whole lot in camp and through preseason. Didn't really see any of Russell Wilson. I think George Pickens is better suited for Russell Wilson. Saw Cortland Sutton last year have a good season, double-digit touchdowns, and year one was bad, but year two was good. And the accuracy, I think that Russ is a better decision maker and the accuracy is there. His deep ball is decent. But Fields does have a strong deep ball. I still, you know, have Pickens in the 30s. It's not going to change too much for me. He's also boom or bust. He led the NFL in yards per catch last year. You know, I probably would still just roll him out. It's all about context. If you have a question regarding George Pickens, let me know your other options. But as for Fields, if this guy is active, which I expect him to be, he's going to be right in this range of like quarterback 13, 14. You know, I got Jordan Love at quarterback 9. I'm high on Trevor Lawrence this week as quarterback 10. I actually think that Miami and Jacksonville game will be a shootout. Lots of points in that game. I like the over 49. Caleb Williams at 11. You know, I have a lot of respect for the Titans defense. I actually like Tennessee quite a bit. I love the moves in the offseason, Brian Callahan and company. Their corners are solid, but Caleb is set up to have some success. Jaden Daniels is there at 12. Jared Goff at 13. All those guys are kind of in the same tier for me, but I would be putting Fields in there as well. I'd probably lean with like Williams and Daniels and Goff ahead of Fields, but know that Fields does have that top 10 ceiling in, at the quarterback position, giving the rushing floor. As for Dak, Purdy, and Cousins, so Cousins is kind of straightforward. I believe in the Steelers defense, and you know, I just listen, you're not starting him in a single quarterback league. You may have to in a super flex. Again, I would play Fields over him, but first game in a while. You know, new offense. I believe that it'll be a very similar offense. Zach Robinson comes from Sean McVay's coaching retreat, and Kevin O'Connell came from there as well. But the Achilles and whatnot. I'm not totally interested in starting him. As for Dak and Purdy, I mean, the Jets made Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen look silly at times last year. Right. This is a legit defense. I think the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. And that's why Brendan Ayuk is on this board. And you may have gotten the value on Brendan Ayuk, you know, drafting him as your wide receiver 3. We had a caller on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio this week, and he was their wide receiver 4. So, you know, good options for that particular manager, and you maybe not needed to start Ayuk, but he could be your 2. You may want to start this guy. What I will say is Sauce Gardner is a bad man, and the Jets allowed 5 receiving touchdowns to wide receivers last year. That's it. Tyreek Hill was 1. Jalen Waddle was 1. Elijah Moore at the end of the season, if that one even counts. That was week 18. So it's a very, very tough matchup for Brock Purdy. And Ayuk hasn't really been with the team all offseason. So there could be some sort of pitch count for him. That's very possible. And again, it is all about context here. But I would look for other options. I have Brendan Ayuk around wide receiver 28. So still, you know, a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end 3 for some managers out there, but there's certainly some guys that would start over him. As for Dak Prescott, you know, the Browns allowed the 4th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks last season. They were 2nd in pass DVOA, according to Aaron Schatz and FTN Fantasy. Dak had the 73% completion rate, and he averaged over 300 passing yards at home last season. On the road, 65% mark, and 227 passing yards on the road. So not as a strong outside of the dome, and this is a tough spot. Cleveland's a very good defense. It's a tough team to play. Dak and Brock and Cousins, I downgrade them a little bit. Jalen Warren is healthy and ready to go. I still think Najee is the lead there. And, you know, with Fields, he may not be willing to dump it down like the quarterbacks in Pittsburgh last year to Jalen Warren. He made his tuck and run himself. Atlanta's been really good against running backs over the past couple of years. So, you know, there could be some sort of setback, even though he did practice in full today and he's ready to go. I just downgrade really him and Najee overall. Chase Brown is he actually may be worthy of a play now in a flex spot in a PPR league. Knowing that we're not going to see T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase called himself like a game time decision. And if he does play, he's going to be limited. I think this is the reason I had Chase as a sit is because I think this is going to be a Zach Moss game. And Chase is a guy that really jumped up draft boards over the past month. He moved up and decided the top 30 at the running back position. But I feel like I think that Zach Moss is going to be the lead. I think he's going to be the first and second down back. I think he's going to get the early down work. I think he's going to be the goal line back. He's the veteran. Chase Brown is fun. Like, you know, he hardly touched the ball last year. And when he did, he was explosive. and Joe Mixon's gone, and he averaged 51 catches over the last 3 years, and Brian Callahan's offense here, I know Callahan is gone, but it's similar offense under Zach Taylor, maybe a little bit more 12 there, and especially maybe this weekend, that I think that they just lean on the ground game, like dial up some pressure and get after Jacoby Brissett, who was pathetic in the offseason or in the throughout the preseason. It was really bad. There's not a lot of great options here. The defense in New England is not as good as last year. They traded some pieces away. They suffered some injuries. Matthew Judon was a big loss. So I think we'll see a lot of Zach Moss. I like the over 12.5 rushing attempts for Zach Moss. We had Jay Morrison, who covers the Bengals for Pro Football Network, join us a couple weeks ago, and he really did put some cold water on Chase Brown. Is like, yeah, third down back, catching some balls, has to be able to protect Joe Burrow, but Moss as the lead has had a good camp as the goal line back, and I do agree with Jay Morrison. He's more in tune with the Bengals than I am, so I think maybe you can get by with Chase Brown as a flex play in a PPR league, but I think this will be a Zach Moss game. And when we see some matchups that are a little bit tougher where the Bengals aren't touchdown favorites, maybe Chase Brown gets in there and racks up some catches and whatnot. But I think this is going to be a Zach Moss game. Blake Corum against the Lions. I know that Corum's gotten a lot of buzz, and Kyren returning kicks has created like more helium for Corum, but he's also returning punts. These guys are both returning kicks and punts. At the end of the day, I still fully believe in Kyren Williams. Like, Blake Corum's a guy that's going to get some touches and steal some touches away and some good short yardage back. And Sean McVay's done some stuff with his running backs. He's always drafted a running back. He's played the hot hand. When you feel like it's Henderson, it's Sony Michel. When you feel like it's Sony Michel, it's Ronnie Rivers. When you feel like it's Cam Akers, it's Kyren. And maybe you feel like it's Williams, and all of a sudden it's Corum. But at the end of the day, this is a rookie running back, and the Lions are one of the better teams against the run in all of football. So I would be cautious about playing Blake Corum. It's like a wait and see, just like J.K. Dobbins. Not on this list. Wouldn't play him. Even if he didn't touch the rock a ton and he didn't look that good, I'd be patient. You drafted these guys for like stashes and guys that may pop off midway through the season. The Dallas running backs sitting them all. Mike McCarthy said they're going to be a great rushing team because they're going to be committed to the run. I don't fully believe him. I think Rico Dowdle is a legit possibility to lead this team in rushing yards this season, but I think Zeke is going to have the goal line role back again. And, you know, some third down stuff there, and they got Dalvin Cook, but it's not a good matchup against the Browns, so I'd be sitting all the Dallas Cowboys backs. DeAndre Hopkins, this was before I knew that he plans on playing through an MCL tear. Like, what's that all about? I wish I knew that 4 or 5 weeks ago. I understand these teams don't want to give everything away, but the report last night was that he plans to play through the MCL tear. He ditched the sleeve today, and he's practicing, but Callahan called him questionable. I just don't want to take these risks. Like, even if Higgins was going to be available, I don't even think I would play him. Jamar Chase is a different story. Like, it really is about context. Like, Chase could play half the game and still put up wide receiver one numbers against the Patriots. They could be up in the game. He could get two touchdowns in the first quarter. They could be up defensively, making plays, leaning on the ground game. And then Chase doesn't even play the fourth quarter. But at that point, maybe he did enough for you from a fantasy standpoint. DeAndre Hopkins, nuh-uh. I'm not doing this here this early in the season. Even if he is active and he's playing, it's not a great matchup. The Bears are good defense, good run defense. They got some dudes in the secondary who can make some plays. And then Roma Dunze, you know, Keenan Allen is questionable, but he is expected to play in this game with a heel injury. You know, you take preseason with a grain of salt, but I was really kind of following what teams do in two wide receiver sets and three wide receiver sets. And Roma Dunze was a guy that was getting pulled off the field in some two wide receiver sets. And Shane Waldron, you know, bringing in Gerald Everett, you know, I think they run a little bit of 12 there, slow the pace down. I don't think I want to start Roma Dunze this week. I could understand if you had T. Higgins or if you had DeAndre Hopkins and all of a sudden Dunze is your four, is like a guy that you can put in your lineup. I think he's going to have a great career and score a lot of touchdowns with Caleb Williams, but he is behind Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And I'm not crazy about Cole Kmet, but he has improved as a run blocker and he may just get on the field quite a bit as well. So Roma Dunze, Jordan Addison, you know, 10 touchdowns last year. Don't want to take anything away from the touchdowns. There's some busted coverage stuff. It's kind of what I think Darnell Mooney will play in that offense to score some touchdowns as a deep threat guy for Kirk Cousins' offense this year. No TJ Hawkinson. I can get behind it. He's fully healthy now and he's ready to go, but he's not ranked really inside the top 45 for me. These guys are like more late 40s and 50s. Like Mike Williams, like the fact, take a flyer on him. He may be available in your league. He is wide receiver 2 upside. He's available this week, but he's going to be on a pitch count, so I don't think you need to risk it. Then Brock Bowers, Dalton Schultz, and Cole Kmet, right? Crowded in Houston and Chicago. And not crazy about either of those guys this season. Likely is a guy that I'd much rather have over those two guys. Even Taysom Hill this week, I would play over those two guys. And then Brock Powers, his first game, right? I mean, he moves like a wide receiver. He's the best tight end in college over the past couple of years, but he's been limited with a foot injury over the past couple of weeks, and it's the first game. So we'll pump the brakes there a little bit. Let's get to some starts, and then I will answer some questions from you guys, and then I have some picks against the spread and some props, and we'll wrap up with the Eagles there. We'll have some fun with the bets. I mean, you can sprinkle a little bit. You want to talk bankroll management with me or anything like that, we can have that conversation as well. But I always like to give some picks and some props for the people in pools and want to try to make a couple bucks. So here are the players that I like this week, the starts. Jared Goff against the Rams. So again, a lot of these guys, and T. Higgins is here on this board. So again, bear with me. This was made yesterday morning before the T. Higgins stuff. So guys, T. Higgins, don't start him. Don't start him. Cross him off the list. I liked him. He tweaked the hamstring yesterday, and he's doubtful. So we're going to see that he's inactive and just make that swap now. As for Jared Goff, yeah, I like him more than the other quarterbacks that I had on the sit list. This is the highest total of the week in the Rams and the Lions, and 51. I would lean to the over. I do have a lean to the under on that, but I think it'll be close to the 50. But Goff, at home last year, a healthy 70% completion rate, average 8.1 yards per attempt at home. Listen, Jared Goff could just be a league winner this year. And I don't love to draft quarterbacks early. I do like the thought of a dual threat quarterback. And certainly I'm not comparing Goff and to like Hurts and Allen and Lamar. The ceiling is much higher for those guys, but Jared Goff plays in a dome 14 times this season. It just happens that most of his road games are in a dome. And if you look at Jared Goff's home and away splits over the last 2 years, they are significant. They are eye-popping. And just an example of the 70% completion rate and 8.1 yards per attempt at home last season, and the completion percent on the road is like low 60s. So Jared Goff, I think, is a good start. If you had Purdy and you had Dak, you could pick him up, or you pick them last in a couple of things. I have some shares of Purdy where I just adjusted accordingly at the end of my draft. I knew the Jets were on the schedule, take Goff and roll him out. Trevor Lawrence against Miami, and then Matthew Stafford in a super flex against Detroit. He threw for nearly 400 yards in that wild card matchup last year. Didn't really have the touchdowns, but the yards were there, and I think that game will be pretty fun. Trevor Lawrence, again, what I said earlier, he had a great camp. He looked good. I love the additions of Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis, some guys that can score some touchdowns for him. Calvin Ridley led the NFL in end zone targets last year, had a few drops. I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to bounce back. You know, year one, right off Urban Meyer, year two, step forward, Doug Peterson, year three, a couple steps back. But I still believe in the talent. The expectations for Trevor Lawrence heading into the NFL were unfair. They were talking about him as one of the best prospects ever at the quarterback position. He's still fairly young. I think that the offensive coordinator and the play calling needs to be better in Jacksonville. Hot seat alert. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a good day. And I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that football game. So I like T-Law this week. James Conner, Zamir White, Javonte Williams. These are backs that I like this week. In fact, you know, the first two I like a whole lot this year. I know a lot of people want Trey Benson to be a thing. He's the future back in the desert, but James Conner is on the final year of his deal. He's fresh off his first 1,000-yard campaign, 5 yards per carry, career highs across the board there for him. He only played like 13 games, and he still had 200-plus rushing attempts. We'll get into the prop that I like for him later, but he is the guy there in Arizona, right? The final year on the deal is one thing. Run him into the ground is another thing. Benson's a rookie. Can he pass protect? All those things are important for Kyler. And Connor's just underrated. Like, fantasy points per game last year and the year before, RB10, RB11. Like, the only knock is that he doesn't have a full season on his NFL resume. That's very important. You want to be healthy, and I'm sure Benson will have his moment. But Cardinals OC Drew Petzing called James Conner a bell cow back this week, and I just put a smile on my face. I have a lot of James Conner in fantasy, taking him as my RB2 outside of round five and six, as I take a hero RB, and the same sort of deal with Zamir White. So Zamir White in four games with Josh Jacobs last year averaged 21 attempts and 99 rushing yards, 2.5 grabs. The receiving upside is capped. It's limited. I think he can catch 35 plus balls, but I'm probably alone in thinking that. But I also think my opinion is a little bit stronger in terms of the touches that he's going to get on the ground. Like, I think that the Raiders are going to lean on him quite a bit. And Antonio Pierce did when he took over and when Jacobs was hurt. It was a whole lot of Zamir White. So I like Zamir White this year. I have a lot of shares of him. When you watch the footage, you watch the film, it may not blow you away. He doesn't break. He has a breakaway speed and things like that. And again, the pass catching upside is limited. I don't believe Madison. Dylan Labbe is just a rookie. You know, pass protection is huge for these rookies if they're going to come down and come on the field in third down situations. So it's not a lock that he's going to be that guy in the offense. It could be Madison, or it could be a little bit of Zamir White. But the Chargers were a friendly matchup last year, a top 10 matchup for opposing running backs. So I like Zamir White as a start. And I've had him, you know, aggressively ranked as like a low-end RB2 all offseason and this year as well. I do. Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin inside the same game. Both teams really struggled against wide receivers last year, especially Washington. They allowed 36 fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Chris Godwin back in the slot where he's had a lot of success over the past couple of seasons. So Baker's a guy that you can feel good about in Superflex. Mike Evans is a guy that you just feel good about anyways. But Chris Godwin had a down year last year. And I like his matchup this week in the slot. And he had the same amount of red zone targets as Mike Evans last year. Of course, Mike Evans is a big body. He can go up and get it, but maybe some touchdown regression there in a positive way for Mr. Godwin. And then again, in that same game, the Bucs surrendered the fourth most yards to wide receivers last year. They were very fantasy friendly to the position. A lot of questions on who the number two is going to be in Washington. I would say it's Zach Ertz and Eckler. I think that these guys are like both of their catch props this week at 2.5. What I saw from Washington in the preseason was quick throws, very quick throws. Get it out of the ball, get it out of the hands quick. Part of it's the offensive line, short A dot. Did see the deep ball to Diami Brown, who will have his moments, but I don't imagine him getting like more than 3 or 4 targets a game. Luke McCaffrey's listed as the starter in the slot. Remember, he's a former quarterback. It may take some time for him. You have veterans on the field like Jamison Crowder, but Jahan Dotson gone does open up an opportunity for certain guys. Terry McLaurin's had 1,000 yards in 4 straight seasons. He hasn't scored more than 5 touchdowns since his rookie season. You know why? Because Jaden Daniels is going to be the 12th different quarterback that Terry McLaurin has played with as we head into his 6th year in the NFL. That is crazy. Jaden Daniels is going to be the best quarterback he's played with by far. He does have that deep ball. Look what he did at LSU with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. So I like Terry this year. I thought he was undervalued. You get him as your 3. I think he's got upside to be a 2. And hey, if he scores 7 or 8 touchdowns this season, it will be his best season ever. And he will certainly return value and be a high-end wide receiver 2. Joshua Palmer and Brian Thomas Jr., those are guys that you can consider if you had T. Higgins, if you had DeAndre Hopkins. Palmer, his catch prop's at 4.5 and his receiving yard prop is under 50. I think that certainly the Chargers are going to be different this year. They're going to run the football with Roman bringing over his Ravens running backs and Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And you have Justin Herbert dealing with the plantar fasciitis. He says it's not plantar fasciitis, but he is going to deal with this foot injury, I think, all year long. And then you just have the fact that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Gerald Everett and Austin Eckler are gone. Like, that's over 2,000 yards of offense gone. And the only guy that's caught passes from Herbert is Joshua Palmer. Like, Quentin Johnson's caught what? I don't even know. Like, does he have a catch with Herbert? Because he didn't do a whole lot. I think he's got a couple. He didn't do a whole lot until maybe the end of the year. And it was Easton Stick at that point. Man, if you follow Chargers camp, Quentin Johnson's behind the eight ball. This guy is struggling with his route running. He's struggling to catch passes. DJ Chark is trending out with a hip injury. I love Ladd McConkey. I have a ton of shares of Ladd McConkey. I expect him to be Herbert's go-to guy at some point. It may be as early as week 1 in the slot. You know, kind of dig him this week in a PPR league, but I think Palmer week 1, let's see it. He's most familiar with Herbert. Herbert is most familiar with him. And that's a guy that I would consider starting. And I know that this game may be run heavy on both sides, but I like the over 40. I think there will be some points scored in this game. So Palmer, and then Brian Thomas Jr. is kind of like that dart throw, right? He really is. Just because of week one. Rookie, you know that Kirk and Ingram and even Etienne are ahead of him in terms of targets. You got Gabe Davis there. But Brian Thomas Jr., I'm very, very bullish on him. I'm a huge fan of his upside. Led the nation in touchdowns last year. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. So if you're looking for some sort of big, you know, high upside play, I dig it. You know, if you're in an 8-team, 10-team league and this guy's on the waiver wire for some reason, go ahead and pick him up now. And then the three tight ends I have, Kyle Pitts, you know, he had the hamstring that he tweaked a couple weeks ago and he took to Twitter and said, guys, I'm fine. I'm ready to go. I like him this year. I haven't liked him in the past, but I like him this season. And the reason is Kirk Cousins and the other reason is Zach Robinson. Last year, Arthur Smith gave this guy 4 red zone targets. How can Kyle Pitts have 4 red zone targets? Like, that's just not acceptable because he is a mismatch. He's a big body. You can line him up wide. There's some talk about some short and intermediate targets for him this season. And what I saw in camp is using him in the red zone. I'd like seeing the corner fade tossed to him in the red zone. Like, 4 red zone targets for that guy in a season is just unacceptable. So Arthur Smith is gone. Jonnu Smith is gone. Kirk Cousins can put it on a guy. He was among leaders in completion percentage. And they're going to use him inside the red zone. And, I mean, I know that it's, you know, a rocky relationship that people have with Kyle Pitts. I've never really been on either side. I've kind of just been in the middle. I missed the boat in the rookie season when he had 1,000 yards. I thought he was overdrafted in year two last year. I just didn't believe in the quarterback play. Like, the Atlanta Falcons quarterbacks tossed 17 touchdowns combined. Ridman and Heinicke combined 17 in 17 games. Kirk Cousins had more than that, and he played roughly 7 games, 7.5. And look at how he used TJ Hawkinson. So I like him, and I would roll him out this week. And then I think, like, he probably don't need to do this, you know, with Hill and Conklin, but I would play Taysom Hill. I'll tell you where I have him ranked. I have Taysom Hill ahead of Brock Bowers. I have Taysom Hill ahead of Schultz. I have him ahead of Otten, Freiermuth, Komet. Basically everybody after Ferguson and Joku and Goddard. And I don't even like Ferguson and Joku this week, but I would play those guys. I think Taysom Hill's going to score a touchdown. He's going to score a rushing touchdown. He had over 20 red zone rushing attempts last season. He's just a weapon. He's in the running back room this year. He's lining up as a fullback. He's lining up out wide. He's doing everything. And against Carolina, I think he's going to score a rushing touchdown. And plus 380 for him to score a rushing touchdown in DraftKings, I think, is absolutely worth your time. And Alvin Kamara owners are just going to pull their hair out because Taysom Hill is a thing. He really is. He's just going to be used in multiple ways. So I would play him. And then that sneaky tight end is just for, like, it could be a DFS thing. It could be, we'll talk about it on Monday. It could be a prop. It's just the tight end position here may be the play against the Niners, right? Where you're playing Garrett Wilson, tough spot, but Tyler Conklin, Mike Williams on a pitch count, Malachi Corley, just a rook. So Conklin is a guy that I think potentially could pop. There's a lot of questions here and I want to answer them. So let's go. Let's start here. We got to that one early. Dropped likely for Taysom. You got to find a way, Kyle, to get him back in your life, dude. It's likely season. We're here for it. Means, what's your thoughts on Fields long term? So Fields is a guy that I had ranked ahead of Russ because I felt like at some point we would see Fields, and Russ is a little bit older and the calf did bother me. Long term, are you thinking long term this year? Dynasty, I would be into buying him. I'm on, like, pro Fields, and a lot of people are negative on Fields. I thought he had a decent season last year. There were certainly improvements. It was the first year he had weapons in the offense. Look what Chicago did. Imagine Fields in the offense with all those other guys. I'm sure there would be ways that people would be like, I can't draft Keenan Allen or Dunze because of Fields. But I think Fields long-term is a good dynasty buy. The Pittsburgh Steelers schedule is extremely tough from, like, week 11 on. They got the AFC North, which is the best division in sports, and they got some games in there against the Eagles and the Chiefs, so it's very tough. I thought that Fields would maybe come in around the halfway point if the Steelers struggled and Russ wasn't good. They'd make that switch, and it wouldn't be great for him because of the tough schedule. But now it sounds like, it to me, like, it's the legit possibility that this is it for Russ. And I don't want to overreact. Like, I don't think that's overreacting at all. Like, what if Fields plays good this weekend and they beat Atlanta? You can't go to Russ. And if he has this calf injury at his age, this could be a thing that lingers for 3 or 4 weeks. And the schedule is a little bit easier, actually a lot easier to start the season. So if Fields just starts strong, it may just be his job. And we'll see. Like, and if I'm Pittsburgh, I want to see Fields. I get they want to win and the defense is good and Super Bowl aspirations and Tomlin always has a 500 record and making the playoffs and all this stuff, but Russ probably gives them the best chance to win. I can say that with confidence, but at the same time, they bought low on Fields and you want to see what you have in him. And what better time to get it done before week one? I am a Packers fan and it was all in a Watson last year. So, you know, he's going off this year. I kind of feel the same there. Full PPR, Kyle Woods, DeAndre Swift, Chuba, McLovin, Spears, Dubs need running back two and a flex from this group. So need RB two. Your RB two should be Swift. I think, Chuba probably gets the most touches, but I don't love the matchup. The Saints were like a top 10 run defense last year, especially at home. Really strong. I'll play Swift. The Titans, too, have a really good defense, but I think we'll see more targets and catches for Swift this year in Chicago than we did last year in Philly. It was a career low for him across the board in terms of his work through the air. So I would lean with Swift, and McLovin's not getting to my lineup yet. Spears not yet either. Dubs tonight. As much as I just down talk Chuba, I probably just roll with the two backs, dude. Roll with the two backs. Kyron, Jeremy, one. Where you go? DK, IU, Kirk. Like, context. I love it. Give me some context. Give me some other options if you're going to ask some questions here. Chase long term could be nice. Will be a lot like Warren like last year. I agree. And one thing I'll say is, who was the lead, though? Najee was the lead. Who got the majority of the goal line carries and red zone rushing attempts? Najee. And I think that Moss will too. I think it's a very good comparison. Then I think when you watch the Bengals backfield, it will be a lot like the Steelers where you're like, man, Chase looks better. Warren looks better. But why do they keep giving the ball to Moss and Najee? I think that's kind of how it's going to play out. What's going on, Albert? Welcome in another season. Let's ride. McLaurin or Javonte was leaning scary due to having Jaden as my quarterback. Yeah, just let's go with the double. Let's go with the double points, right? These guys hook up for a touchdown. Away you go. Do you like Javonte as a play this week? Seattle allowed the second most fantasy points to opposing running backs, and only Arizona allowed more fantasy points, and only Carolina allowed more rushing touchdowns. And I like Javonte this year. I liked him a lot last year. I had more shares of him last year than this year. I was a little sour early because I didn't think Peyton liked him. But then he had a good camp. Then they get rid of Perine. Estime could carve out a goal line role there. But I like Javonte and McLaurin quite a bit. But at the same time, you know, Bo Nix is going to run. But I'd go McLaurin there. Jay Felicio. New sit-em short just dropped in our YouTube, TikTok, Instagram starts dropped yesterday. Jay's doing some fantastic work for us at FTN. Give him a follow, G-Man Jay. Love it, dude. One of my favorite humans in all of life. And yeah, give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok and subscribe to our YouTube page. Jay is he's turning out some videos for us and some picks and some props and some starts and sits. He'll be doing them all year for us here. Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson. Going Watson right now. Man, people are obsessed with Watson. And I can't say anything negative because I was too. I have been as well. Randall jumped on the Sirius show today, gave the over on the prop. He was 3-for-1 last night. He's been big on Watson. I would lean with Brian Thomas Jr., man. That's where I'm at. Listen, there's a lot going on in both wide receiver rooms. I would lean with Brian Thomas Jr. I think that game is going to be a little bit more fantasy friendly. You're going Watson, and we'll see, man. We'll see how it goes. Like, you can get Dubs on the field. You have Wicks. You have two tight ends. You have Jacobs. I think Watson could see a little bit of slay. I lean with Brian Thomas there. Joshua Northcutt, did you give your plays for tonight or different show? Great, likely call last night. Appreciate it. Haven't given my plays for tonight. Hang on. We'll get to them in like 5 or 10 minutes. I'm going pretty long here of excitement. It's a lot of questions. I wanted to save Philly and Green Bay for the end because I know some people will be watching the show later and maybe that game's already over. But I do have a couple plays from that game. So just give me a few minutes and I'll wrap up. I don't have a ton. I do like the running backs there in that game. Derek in the house, 12-point PPR. Who to flex? Monty, Deontay. Yossi Vosh. Oh, I love Yossi Vosh. Only if both Higgins and Chase out. Yeah, I don't think you can really start Yossi Vosh. My locked in starters are... I love this question. He's listing everybody, so if everyone can list the players, this is great. This is great work here, Derek. It gives me a little bit of context. Like, it gives some questions like, should I trade Kamara for Cup? It was like, who else do you have? And just those are things I need to know. Locked in starters are Allen, Gibbs, Achan, Garrett Wilson, Jaden Reed, Kincaid. You can only play one. I would lean with Montgomery here in this game. I think Deontay Johnson is going to get a ton of volume and a ton of targets this year, but I would lean, you know, PPR does benefit him a touch. You know, if Higgins and Chase were out, if they were both out, I mean, somebody has to catch a pass there. I really, guys, I would go and hammer the Zach Moss over 12 rushing attempts right now. Eileen Montgomery, I still think he's the closer. The fact is you got both of these guys, which is really tough to have. I think you should try to trade one of them. I know they can both eat and they'll both get touches. Monty's going to continue to be the closer. He was top five in red zone rushing attempts. The 14 games inside of Dome. I expect Detroit to win like 11, 12 games this year. Goal line back. You know, you could just roll both Detroit backs and it's 50 plus points. You know, it's 51 total. It's the highest of the week. You could just roll with both of those guys. If you don't want to do something like that, it would be Deontay Johnson. I would look to try to trade one of those guys, man. You probably don't feel like you want to start both of them. And, you know, it's tough when you, I know that's not a true handcuff, but it's tough to handcuff too, because the guys just on your bench all year. Meanie worked hard on those videos. You should, I appreciate you there. Yeah, Dre, I agree on Watson went over. Okay. Pasty is weak. It is weak, but it may be better this year, guys. Quinton Mitchell and Vic Fangio in there, but certainly the defense, you know, lately some injuries there. Rogers not going to play. Bradbury's hurt. White's hurt, but I think N'Kobe Dino played him anyways in camp. The safer play is Watson, if you can believe it or not. My feeling is Brian Thomas Jr. And I don't think it's going to be a shaky offense, Derek. I know it was last year, but I'm just a little different here on that one. Okay. You guys are just chatting back and forth. Here's one. Would you start Palmer or Pollard? Full PPR. Thank you, sir. I would start Pollard. The Bears run defense is very good. And this will be a split backfield between Pollard and Spears, which is not helping my case here, Mikey Boy G. But, however, the team that allowed the most receiving yards to running backs last year, the Chicago Bears, and they allowed the second most receptions to opposing running backs as well. I think this offense is going to be really fun in Tennessee. Hopkins or no Hopkins early, it's going to be really fun. I believe in Brad Callahan as a play caller. I think he's going to get the most out of Will Levis. And they're going to get the Paulo quick with some RPOs and Jake Browning did some good stuff when he overtook for Joe Burrow. And I think that was a lot on Brian Callahan. I lean Pollard. I'm almost always going to lean, like if it's close and it's like almost a wash, I'm always probably going to lean with the back, especially in the flex, just because I think he's guaranteed to touch the ball. Like he's going to get some touches. So that's where I go. Part of me wants to pick up Fields. Absolutely. I mean, you already have Caleb. I would pick him up. You don't want to drop Ford, Wright, Chase Brown, AD Mitchell. I totally get it. I do feel like you need three quarterbacks though in a super flex, right? We saw 60 plus quarterbacks last year play in the NFL. There's a lot of quarterbacks that played last year. So you may need a third, but I agree with you. Like I wouldn't drop Ford or Wright or Chase Brown. And I kind of like AD Mitchell. So yeah, it's tough. These are the tough decisions you have to make, but you know, you're in good spot with the rookie quarterbacks there that you're rolling Caleb and Jaden already. If there was a guy, it probably would be AD, depending on what your wide receiver room looks like. I think that Wright is like a home run play, right? I would just like this time last year, Achan was drafted late and look what happened. I don't think that he can handle full workload and Mostert's a little bit older. So Wright, if one of those guys goes down, Wright's like an RB2. And if both go down, my goodness, you got yourself a top 10 back. PJ322 in the house, is 11.5 points PPR enough to justify moving Justice Hill into my starting lineup in a guillotine free look league? I think I'm going to have to bench Higgins. So what, you can just swap him in this week, even though he's already played. Here's a little bit more context. I think I'm going to have to bench Higgins, Boyd Higgins, on the bench in that case. Yeah, I think in a guillotine league, 11.5, it's not bad, right? It's not too shabby. You know, Higgins isn't going to play this week. Boyd, you'd be lucky to get that. Even with no Hopkins, I think you'd still be lucky to get that. I like Boyd. You know, he's been very familiar with Callahan's offense. He actually led the Bengals in third down receptions last year. So he's going to be part of the offense. I don't know if he's going to be fantasy relevant, but I think that's good enough. If that's your option, you know, you're not going to see Higgins and Boyd. So you can make that swap there if you want. Yeah, look, I'm looking to package Monty in a trade soon. I get it. I love it. No worries, man. Not trying to trash you. I'm not here to trash anybody's team. Just here to try to help. Reed, London, Yosivash. Yeah, I would just go with London over those two guys. I don't have a lot of Reed this year. Last year I had Reed everywhere because he was like free. But I thought he was overdrafted this year. There's just too much going on in Green Bay. I think he's probably going to stay on the field the most, him and Dubs, because you use him in multiple ways and some carries and things like that. But I'm starting Drake London this week. And Yosivash should be picked up in deeper leagues, but I don't know if I'm really going to roll him out this week over, you know, some top tier wide receivers. Steve is in the house. 10-team PPR. Need to pick two of these for two flex spots. Watson, a lot of Watson questions today. Watson, Coleman, Brown, Dowdle, or Mitchell. So not going to play Rico Dowdle. I'm not playing any Dallas Cowboys backs. Whew, I would play probably the first two guys on this list in Watson and Coleman. Kind of back and forth between Coleman and Chase Brown. I do think it's going to be a Zach Moss game. You know, you have to make this decision tonight, of course, with Watson. I think Chase is going to play. I think he's going to suit up. I think he will be limited. And I'm going with my gut on how I feel this is going to be a Zach Moss game. It could be a lot between the two running backs with the wide receiver room, the issues there. I would lean with Watson and Coleman. That's kind of where I'm at. Bumping this, add Taysom to the list of flex options above. So Taysom, no, this suits you. I think you're just like chasing a touchdown with Taysom. I wouldn't be playing him over like backs or wide receivers. For reference, we also have Jones, Darnold, Carr, Russ, Brissett, Minshew, Fields, all on waivers. I think you need to find a way to pick up Fields. I really do. I don't think I wouldn't want anybody else in my league to have him. And those guys I don't care about any of those other guys. I mean, Jones has kind of a rushing floor too. But this could be a weekly thing here. Caleb, Jaden, JT, CD, Rashi, Pitts. Here's your bench. Scary, London, Wright, Javonte Ford, Chase B, AD, Mitchell, Jamison. Love Jamison this year too. Yeah, it's tough to find a way here, right? But I think maybe AD Mitchell. You know, Down's not going to play this week. Yeah, I think for me, I'd like to have that third quarterback, right? You got two rookies especially, and injuries could happen. So having that third one there. All right, bumping this again. I think I just answered that one. Yeah, PJ32. Yeah, Boyd or Higgins, the only viable options. Thanks, pseudos of characters. No, you're good. You're all good there. Carlos in the house. Happy Friday. Full PPR. Mixon versus Indy. Diggs versus Indy. Najee versus Atlanta. Pick one. Well, I can only pick one of these guys. It's not going to be Najee. Man, I think Mixon. I'm going to go to the projections for this one. My gut says Mixon. I just had this conversation on how I would lean with a running back and those guaranteed touches. Let's see what our projections say. This would be a fun game too. I really do like Houston tonight or this weekend. Let's see what the projections say. I would say that Mixon's projected higher than Stefon Diggs. So yeah, we have 11.5 fantasy points for Joe Mixon. We have, this is a half point setting. You got full point PPR. I can do the math quick. And then Diggs we have at 10.9. So for Diggs, we have him projected and Ratcliffe's the GOAT. I mean, his projections are on point. He's award-winning in terms of projections and rankings and radio hosts and everything. Diggs, 7.7 targets, 5.3 grabs, 61 receiving yards. We have Joe Mixon for 2.4 catches, 15.2 receiving yards. We have him for 15 carries and 57 yards. I would lean with the back. If there was some sort of scenario where you went up against Worthy and you went up against, I don't know, likely Rice, like you're just down a bunch, then I would probably lean with Diggs and the ceiling, but I'm going to lean with Mixon here. I think the workload for Mixon is going to be very similar to the workload we've seen from him in Cincy. Average 51 catches he's averaged over the last 3 years. All the work, not super efficient between the tackles, but still finishing pretty good in a fantasy perspective. Still pretty good because of those catches. And I think the offensive line can be a little bit better there in Houston than the offensive lines that he's had to deal with in Cincinnati over the years. Thanks for the help. Can't wait for First School Hockey. Let's go. We're just almost there. NHL previews very, very soon. I want to get to the picks, props, and touchdowns and the Eagles stuff. And we're nearly an hour here, but I love it. I love people asking some questions. Who are you taking survivor with all this negative Bengals news? So, yeah, you know, I had the Bengals locked in. Even on Sirius this morning, I said I'm still going to go with Cincinnati. And then I read that Jamar Chase called himself a game time decision. I think that the Bengals are still going to beat New England. Even without Higgins and a limited Chase, I still think that they're going to win. That's where I'm kind of leaning in my survivor. If you don't want to take that risk, I would say the next best thing is Seattle at home. Seattle at home against Denver, they're like 6-point favorites. Bo Nix is a rookie. It's a tough place to play for any quarterback, especially your first taste of the NFL with a 12th man. I also think that the Saints are going to beat Carolina. Mike Randall feels very strongly about Carolina, not only covering, but winning that game. I would be surprised. I think that the Saints at home will take care of Carolina. I really do. So, you know, I would go to home games, whether it's the Saints or whether it's Seattle. Not there on Tampa. We could see Daniels, like he could be a special quarterback in the NFL. So I would look at the other two options there. You were leaning New Orleans. Joe, bench Dak and play Fields. Or am I overthinking this? I don't think you're overthinking this. I really don't. You know, Dak has the ceiling. It's high, but he was part of the sit, right? He was the sit for me. And it's the splits I mentioned earlier. It's the fourth fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. It's second in pass DVOA. It's Dak on the road, 227 passing yards, 300 plus at home. The completion percentage, a massive difference. Fields has that. He has that top 10 upside. He just has it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to rank Fields, and I'm not just telling you this for your. If it was my team, I would play Fields over Dak. I would, and you know, it's sometimes you can overthink these things, and it's easy to be a little bit too cute, but. Quarterbacks, especially, I think, you know, you could move away from them because of some of the matchups. So I would play Fields if he is starting against Atlanta. I mean, he may get 50 rushing yards, and that's like a touchdown. That's a free touchdown right there. So Dak may have like a touchdown or like 200 yards, but if Fields throws a touchdown and he runs for 50, at the end of the day, it's going to be good. But don't drop Dak. And I know you're probably not thinking about that. Don't drop Dak. Because you'll probably be wanting to play him next week. I don't even remember who they play. I know they have Ravens coming up and we'll be in that situation again. Dak or Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams. That's where I'm at. Caleb Williams is ranked ahead of Dak. I got Dak at quarterback 18. And Jeff has him as quarterback 19. Jake Seeley has him at quarterback 19. So these guys are actually a little bit lower than me. So any more starter stick questions, you guys can leave them there. We're going to wrap up here quick time with a couple props for this weekend, some touchdown props, and we have some picks against the spread. We still have the Eagles to talk about. So we're going to rapid fire through this pretty quickly. Bo Nix over 3.5 rushing attempts, -135. That's at Bet365. Very small sample size, but in the two preseason games, Bo Nix had 3 rushing attempts in each one of those games, and he didn't play a whole lot. This was a guy in Oregon, had over 700 rushing yards. I think he's a quarterback that you want to own in super flex leagues. You may find yourself starting him given what he can do on the ground with his legs. And I think once we get to like week 3 or 4, we're seeing Bo Nix as like a rushing attempt prop at like 6.5. We'll see how much Sean Payton lets him run. He's got a ton of experience, 60 some odd games, more than that in college. And, you know, he can run, as I said, over 700 rushing yards there, and very accurate as a passer too. I actually think he's a decent quarterback, man. So over 3.5 rushing attempts. We actually have him for 4.8 rushing attempts. It's one of the biggest edges in our projections. And also we have the number is like 18 and a half rushing yards. We have him for just over 20, but taking the over 3.5. I mentioned James Conner earlier. I don't need to get into that too much, but over 12 and a half rushing attempts. He is the man inside this offense, the bell cow guy. 13 games last year, 9 of them he had 13 plus rushing attempts. And 200 plus in 13 games. So I like the over 12 and a half. I mentioned Pollard, 9.5 receiving yards there at -114. And, you know, mentioned the matchup and the Bears allowing the most receiving yards and second most catches. Also Zamir White, right? He was on the start list, 20 plus opportunities in those four games, 19 rushing yards, 19 rushing attempts and 99 rushing yards, what he averaged in those four games without Jacobs. Zach Ertz and Adam Thielen, these ones may gross you out a little bit, but just trying to find an edge, guys. Really just trying to find an edge here with some props. Zach Ertz over 2.5 at -120 is what I put in the tracker. I think this one is a little bit juiced up now. I'd take it anywhere around -140, -145. Same with Eckler. You know, I like Terry, but I think that Ertz and Eckler are going to be things. Short A-dot, what I saw in preseason, get the ball out quick. So Ertz at over 2.5 catches. It's going to take some time for Ben Sennett to get involved with the offense. He's a rookie. Adam Thielen over 3.5 catches at -143, right? Gross. They bring in Deontay Johnson. Leggett is a rookie. They're actually down two tight ends. Jatavion Sanders is going to be their starting tight end, and he is a rookie. But Adam Thielen, this guy caught 100 balls last year. Like Adam Thielen was very much involved in the offense last season. I expect Deontay Johnson to be the go-to guy. He's younger. He's a good separator. But Adam Thielen is still going to be very much involved in this offense, and especially early on where he is healthy and ready to go. Yeah, 103 catches last year for Adam Thielen. He had at least 4 grabs last season in 13 games last season. He had 3 games with 11 grabs, and that was early on. So Adam Thielen at over 3.5. And we'll take a quick break here because we want to tee up the sponsors of the show, Boom Fantasy. Let's listen to our guy, Quan, here.
All right, so Boom. I'm going to win 500 times my entry with Boom Fantasy's Pick and Spin. You pick 2 player props, spin the wheel, and win. It's that simple. This week, I'm going Tony Pollard over 10.5 receiving yards and James Conner over 12.5 rushing attempts. Download the Boom Fantasy app for Android and iOS and tune in to Mean Streets each week to see if I pick and spin and win.
Love it. Shout out to Boom Fantasy. Download the app, spin the wheel, get some of those picks and some of those plays. Credit to my guy, Quan, for making that video here for us. Here's some touchdown props. I have a few. There's 10 of them. You don't have to bet them all. I have them listed in order of how I like them. There are 3 that I have put in the tracker so far. It is Sam Laporta +145 and Cooper Kupp at +140, the highest total of the game. Laporta double-digit touchdowns last year. Cooper Kupp healthy. I think that will be a fun game. Mike Evans against Washington, a fantastic matchup. Mike Evans did not miss a beat without Tom Brady in his first year with Baker Mayfield. Double-digit touchdowns, 1,000 yards every year. Mike Evans +135 in a terrific matchup. A team that allowed 36 fantasy points per game. 2 wide receivers, only Eagles allowed more. Zach Moss at +150. As I said, Zach Moss is a guy that I'm going to put in the tracker and the rushing attempt prop at 12.5. I think they're going to lean on him a bit to beat New England that way. Zamir White at 2-1. Gus Edwards at +250. I thought it was very interesting to see J.K. Dobbins with a shorter number at like +170. I expect Gus Edwards to be the lead. I expect him to be the goal line back. I also expect the Chargers to run the football. No running back had more goal line attempts than Gus Edwards last year, if you can believe it. And he excelled in that role. He had 12 touchdowns in the goal line. All 13 came inside the 10. So I think, you know, Roman being familiar with him, I think that he is going to be the lead back and they'll ease JK into it. I think JK's got a higher ceiling and he's the guy that could have the better fantasy year. But Gus Edwards is the veteran and I think he's going to get the goal line work there. Dalton Kincaid at +170. And then some dart throws here. Brian Thomas Jr. at +290 in a game that I think will be a shootout. And I do like a bounce back here for Trevor Lawrence this season. Jameson Williams, you could see the breakout coming last season from J-Mo. Down the stretch, I know that they got Tim Patrick. That's not going to hurt Jameson Williams. Reynolds is gone. And for Jamo last year, remember that conference championship game? He had a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown, plus 240. He's had a great camp. I expect a breakout. This was a top pick who has been behind the eight ball over the last couple years, right? The first year, he was recovering from the injury where he blew out his knee in the college championship game. We didn't see him till week 13 at that point. Really didn't touch the field. And then he served the six-game suspension. He missed the first chunk of the season last year. So this year at camp, you know, as the starter, first team offense, it's a different vibe. This is a big boom or bust player, just like Brian Thomas. These guys can stretch the field, go up and get it. I'm interested in both of those guys as a long shot. Taysom Hill at plus 350 is the rushing touchdown, and that's from DraftKings, 20-plus red zone rushing attempts. Again, not playing him over wide receivers and running backs, but I am playing him over like a Kincaid, a Schultz. I think you can plug him in. Listen, he's been tight end 10 in fantasy points per game over the last 2 years. Tight end 10. And they are really using him in Clint Kubiak's system. And there is one that I put in the tracker before I got on, and it was Andre Yosivash at plus 333 at BetMGM. I almost did it last night, but I thought Higgins would play, so I missed the 4-1. But he's going to get bet up here a little bit. But plus 333 for Yosivash. And then this is what I'm going with for some picks. If you guys have any other questions about other games, just hit me up in the comment section or reach out at Chris Meany. I'm in a pick 'em pool where I do my own picks. And, you know, I thought about doing that here and maybe I will next week, where I'll show the schedule and just tell you guys all my picks and what I'm doing. But I like Tennessee at plus 4.5. Hopkins or no Hopkins. I think the defense is going to be underrated. Like, it's a good corner, you know, with Owusu-A and Sneed. They picked up Ernest there from the Rams this week. So they got some dudes that can play on both sides. I like Callahan as a play caller. The pace is going to be slow. It could be some sort of backdoor cover. I do expect the Bears to win. But I would not be shocked at all if Tennessee won the game. In my own pool where I pick my own spread, I'll just be taking Chicago to win by 1 point. The Jets at plus 4.5. It's the defense. You know, we'll see. I'm looking forward to see what Rodgers hasn't completed pass in nearly 600 days. But the Jets defense is good, right? I mean, they hung around with good teams despite poor play at quarterback position, right? With the Chiefs last year, make Mahomes look silly and beating Jalen Hurts and three turnovers against Josh Allen. So, on the road in San Fran, haven't seen a whole lot of Ayuk and Trent Williams in camp. They will be there. CMC is ready to go, but maybe not be 100% for this game. I like the plus 4.5. And I like the Raiders. I think the Raiders can go in and win the football game. But plus 3, divisional game. I think the Chargers are overrated. They got some structure there for sure with Harbaugh and company. But the Raiders, man, different vibes when Antonio Pierce overtook the whole team when they let go of McDaniels. So I like the Raiders plus 3, and I think that they're live. And I think, you know, you can get them plus 3.5 in some spots. You could earlier in the week. I missed it for the show. I just wanted to give the live odds or what was there. Houston, I put in the tracker, I think, at minus 125 earlier in the week on the money line. It's my favorite pick of the week. I know it's a divisional game, and the Colts beat the Texans in this spot last year early in the season. But, you know, I fully believe in Houston. I think the schedule it's extremely tough down the stretch of the season. I had to lean to the under, but this team they made some moves defensively. They bring in Stephon Diggs and Mixon's an upgrade at the running back position over Singletary. And I'm just not sold on Anthony Richardson. He was a fantasy quarterback, great. But overall, as a passer, he's still fairly raw. The completion percentage was in the 50s. You know, some turnovers and some careless things that I saw in preseason. It's good that he's got Jonathan Taylor there to lean on. Shane Steichen's a great caller, but I lean with Houston. And, you know, my thing here is I want to give against the spread, and I want to give money line plays, and I don't want to give anything that's just like too juicy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say the Bucks at minus 200. You know, I got the parlay there. Cincy, Tampa, New Orleans, and Seattle at plus 308. That would be my parlay. I still think Cincinnati's going to win the football game. But Atlanta's like, that's kind of the threshold for me, is like a straight bet, one team, money line. So I do like Atlanta. And then my upset would be the Jags. I think I've talked enough about Jacksonville and their offense, a really good run defense. And I think it'll be a good test for them with all those weapons and Mike McDaniel's system. But I think the Jags at plus 150 are alive. I got the over 49. I think a lot of points there. Excuse me. I got the over Tennessee or over Raiders and Chargers at 40. I think that's pretty low. And then the under between Tennessee and Chicago at 44.5. I think both defenses are solid and also a little bit of a slower pace there. So, boom, we did it. That's it. As for tonight, Eagles and Packers. Let me timestamp here. I don't think the Packers are going to win the football game. I think the Packers are going to win the football game. I really do. I think the Eagles are certainly improved defensively, and I like the fact that they got the new OC and the new DC. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what kind of schemes they'll draw up and dudes in motion this year. You know, they use Saquon out of the backfield and things like that. But I think that there's still some questions. You know, how will they adjust without Jason Kelce on the line? I think Juergens is fine, and I think the offensive line overall will be better or will be good still. You know, you still have Maialata and Lane Johnson, but I like this Packers team. I'm kind of bullish on them, on their offense. I think that we'll see the Packers dial up some blitzes. Like, you have to, as a defensive coordinator going against the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, you have to like prove it that you guys have fixed this issue of, you know, stopping the blitz or Jalen Hurts struggling against the blitz. We saw it in the playoff game. This team really struggled down the stretch last season. So I have the lean to Green Bay. It's not a bet that I am making. I like the over. That would be my favorite play from the game in terms of a side and a total, the over. And for props, I'm kind of cool on the props. I have Saquon Barkley over 2.5 catches, and I have Josh Jacobs over 2.5 catches. Both of those guys are at a similar price. I think the better price is with Josh Jacobs. He is a workhorse back, a guy that I have a lot of shares of in fantasy. He's 2 years removed from leading the NFL in rushing yards. He faced a lot of stacked boxes last year because of the poor quarterback play. He's not going to this season. So Josh Jacobs over 2.5 catches is, I think, minus 115. I'm trying to find it in my notes. I gave this on the Sirius show this morning. And then Saquon Barkley over 2.5 catches. This one is moving quite a bit. Saquon Barkley over 2.5. Yeah, minus 117 this morning when I saw it. And I think now I am seeing Saquon Barkley at minus 130 at Bet365. So last year didn't use Swift. I think that was just the coaching. I think it was like very vanilla. It just wasn't great play calling. What I saw in camp was some wheel routes. I saw Shipley. I saw Saquon catching balls out of the backfield. I think Saquon's going to be very much involved in this game. Last year, hit behind the line of scrimmage 46% of the time, and DeAndre Swift 26% of the time, which was the best mark in football, right? They're still number one in run block win rate. So it's his life is going to be a little bit easier for Saquon this year and hitting holes that Swift didn't. So you can get an alternate rushing yard prop at FanDuel for Saquon Barkley. 60 plus rushing yards is minus 128 over at FanDuel. So I'm leaning with the backs here. Jacobs over 2.5, Saquon over 2.5. For touchdowns, I would say those two guys score as well. Jacobs and Saquon. If you were looking for something else, I would go with Romeo Dubs, who led the Packers in target share, air yards, end zone targets, red zone targets, receiving touchdowns. And he was the guy that balled out for the Packers in the playoffs. I know there's a lot of Watson love here on this show today, but Romeo Dubs has been the most consistent Packer over the past couple of years in this offense, and especially last season. So I would lean with Romeo Dubs to score a touchdown, and I have the lean to Devontae Smith over 4.5. So no graphic for this, guys. I'd say Jacobs over 2.5 catches, 60 rushing yards. Jacobs over 2.5 catches, Saquon over 2.5 catches and 60 rushing yards, Devontae Smith over 4.5 grabs, and Romeo Dubs for the touchdown. And I also like the over on his season touchdown. It's 4.5. It ate last year. It's 4.5. I get it. It's crowded, but he's not bad, man. And Love likes to throw that fade to him. Likes to toss it up to him in the red zone. Guys, I think that's it. We went fairly long here. I'm pretty sure we hit on everything. Start and sit, answered your questions. We had the picks, we had the props, and we teed up tonight's football game. So it should be a lot of fun. We recapped the game last night. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. At Chris Meany, have any questions, DMs are open. Slide on in. One final thing I will say, if you're looking for a betting package, you can hang out on the YouTube page. The NFL betting show went live yesterday. You can find it on our YouTube page, myself and Mike Randall. We're giving away a betting package, but we need you to subscribe to the YouTube page. We need you to like and list your favorite bet for this weekend in the comment section. And we will pick one person and we will give them a fantasy football betting package throughout the entire season. I'm talking tools, projections, the pick tracker, the Discord, the betting model, which was perfect last night with Pacheco over rushing and receiving. And last time I checked, there's like only 13 or 14 people there who had given picks. So you got a pretty good chance to win. So head on over there to the NFL betting show and like and subscribe and leave the comment there in the comment section. And do me a solid and like and subscribe this video as well. Tell a friend. Listen on iTunes and Spotify. We're going to get out of here, guys. But we do appreciate you taking the time to hang out. Good luck with all the plays. Enjoy football. We'll be back to break it all down on Monday. Cheers.